Welcome to the Boss Hijabipreneur podcast for women of faith in business looking to take their careers or businesses to the next level without compromising their faith. If you're ready to begin taking action on your entrepreneurship goals, learn tips, tools, and strategies to execute consistently and manifest the life of your dreams, this podcast is for you. I'm your host, Halima de Oliveira, business strategist, three-time author, using the fusion of faith and finances to lead female-led e-commerce brands to six and seven-figure revenue targets annually. Ready? Let's work. Tune into today's episode, Already in Progress. Bossy Jabbypreneur Podcast. This is episode 67 with Jenna Bayan, Mothers. How to bloom where you're planted. So today's episode is for the Boss Hijabipreneurs who are also moms of younger children who do not necessarily know that they have another role besides umi or mom, okay? These women are also juggling full-time jobs, are active in their community, and are also wives, and whatever else we've managed to pile on their plates. So without further ado, I'm so excited to have this next guest. He has a special place in my heart, Masha'Allah. So welcome, Jenna Bayan. How are you?
I'm good, alhamdulillah. Thank you so much for inviting me, having me. Thank you.
I'm so excited for this because I feel like, you know, I'm like, you know, woman, hear me roar, talking about business and all that kind of stuff. Most people don't know I'm a mom, right? They don't know I have, you know, an adult child and, you know, a teenager, right? So when I say, oh, yeah, I have to whatever my children, they're like, oh, you do have children that you have to go and, you know, take care of. So I wanted to do this episode for those women, you know, for those of us who are also mothers, maybe aspiring mothers as well. How do we juggle all of these roles, inshallah, you know, in our life? So how do we make time for these many roles and goals that we have? And so please, Jenna, you know, I want you to tell us a little bit more about a Pretty Life of a Mother. Right. And I think there was a name. Was there like a name switch? It was like Pretty Life of a Muslim or Pretty Life of a Mother.
At first it was Pretty Life. Yep.
I want you to tell us a little bit about that and what the why you transitioned, and then tell us about what it is now, which is the Pretty Life of a Mother, inshallah.
So at first I did start with Pretty Life of a Muslim. And I was gung-ho because at that time that was, you know, my world. The world of the Muslima, right? Because I think I was just kind of getting back into, you know, when you have children, you kind of lose focus, and you know, you lose that focus in Salat. You kind of, you know, you're just focused on the children. And so I was just really getting back into that world. And, you know, so that was my world. And then I realized that it wasn't as inclusive as I had initially intended it to be. I speak to everyone. You know, what I do is for everyone. It's not just for Muslims. And at the end of the day, as a Muslima stepping into that role, that's dawah. You know, and that's for everyone. It's a reminder for Muslimas, and it's, you know, dawah for people who are not Muslims. So I just felt it was necessary to it was time to transition into the Pretty Life of a Mother. And that's really the role that I find myself in. That's the number one role right there.
And so tell us a little bit more about, you know, Pretty Life of a Mother. Where is it? Where did it start? You mm-hmm. know, so, you know, we kind of got the backstory of the name mm-hmm. change, but where did it start? Where is it now? And where do you see it heading, inshallah?
So the Pretty Life of a Mother, it's, I hate to say, like, I don't want to sound cliche, but it is a lifestyle brand, right? And it's a lifestyle brand that's being built to help support women, help, you know, push women to their boundaries and push women to their limits. And then even when they get to those limits, we push them a little bit more, right? You go to the next step, right? So that's just really what the Pretty Life of a Mother is all about. It was my own journey as a mom, as a Muslima, as, you know, a working mother. And, you know, I lost a little bit of myself. And it was that journey in finding myself and finding meaning in the little things. I'll tell you a funny story. So the other day, I was getting ready for work, and I had bought some new mascara. the Idol mascara. And I was like, I'm wearing this to work. And when I finally got to work and everything, you know, I went through my whole day and my student was like, you have a mascara? I'm like, yeah, you know, because I never wear anything like that to work. But at that day, that moment, it was just necessary. It was necessary. And so those are the type of things, you know, when a mother, a woman remembers herself in those little moments. And I am trying to provide opportunities for women to do that for themselves. Where'd you go? Are you here? Oh, there you go.
I am here. I wanted to give you your own space there, just speaking of, right?
Oh,
so you said a mouthful in like a short, amount of time. And, you know, this is speaking to one beautiful platform. I think that we need your platform is necessary, right? How many times are we running back and forth to doctor's appointments? As you were talking, I was remembering when my kids were young and I was thinking about the doctor's appointments. Where's my doctor's appointment?
Right.
I had scheduled 17 different doctor's appointments for the kids, but I may have neglected, myself. So
right.
I think that, you know, it's important, you know, you're reminding us to, you know, remember ourselves. Right.
Absolutely.
That mascara, sis, I can so relate. Yes.
Today is necessary.
That today, that gave me that boost, that reminded me, what did it take you? 2 minutes maybe to put that mascara on?
But it's the energy that you get from those moments. Yesterday, I had an appointment at the chiropractor, and I haven't been to the doctor. It's sad. It's really sad. And I'm like, no, I'm going. And then afterwards, I'm like, you know what? Let me go pick up my glasses because I can't see. And I've been neglecting picking up. Let me go do that today. And you know what? Let me go do that. And I'm just like, you know, it was necessary. Mm-hmm. And no, today is different. Today is Kids Day. You know, I'm taking a little bit of time to be here with, you know, your audience. But today is for the children. Like I literally... Every single child I've given something to today. So, you know, it's just about finding those opportunities. And, you know, we have the pretty kit. And the pretty kit is an opportunity. Woo! It's an opportunity. You go, it takes 5 minutes to order, right? You go, you purchase your pretty kit. And then 3 days later, you've probably forgotten about it. And it comes in the mail, and it's literally things to treat yourself, things for you to feel beautiful, things for you to take care of your edges, things for you to take care of your teeth, things for you to take care of, you know, or, you know, just to look pretty or to smell good or to make your home smell good. It's whatever is necessary at that time. And I think it's just, you know, I think it's a really great initiative. And I hope, inshallah, Allah places Buttercup in it and it takes off. Oh, she's going to go.
I'm always
in the zone. And then when I
listen,
come back,
girl,
I'm like,
listen, I'm here. You know, so the pretty kit to me, like we've talked about this. So you've been doing this pretty kit for not last year, the year before, 4 years, right?
Yeah.
So this pretty kit is something that's been around for a while. And, you know, for me, it's necessary. Women need, to feel beautiful. Women also need, like, we've kind of gone away from, you know, this receiving a letter in the mail,
right,
or receiving a handwritten note in the mail. I'm sorry, but, you know, I need those things. You know, one of my best friends, right? My best friend in the whole wide world. We've been friends for 42 years, right?
Wow.
We're the same age. We've been friends for 42 years. Alhamdulillah. And you know what she sent me? She sent me a journal. When I tell you, maybe it cost her $4.
Right.
You know what I mean? From Amazon, and she sent it to me. But that journal is priceless because
absolutely,
it allows me, it was for me. And it allows me to put my thoughts, down on paper and to have that time, whether it's 5 or 10 minutes that I'm spending writing in it, it's my time. And
it's
so,
yours.
You know, it's mine. It belongs to me. That journal belongs to me. The thoughts in there belong to me. So, you know, to me, that's what your kit offers.
And
like,
isn't that wonderful? You have somebody in your life that knows this about you and remembered you. Like, it's just such a mercy. My students, when we came back from break, they walked into my class. It's 4 of them. They walked into my class. Well, it's 5 of them. But and they had four pink bags, like shopping bags. I'm like, what are y'all doing? Like, what's going on? And it was nothing but just pink stuff. And they just like, we listen to you when you're talking and we know you love. And I'm just like sitting there, you know, tears. And it's just such a mercy to have. And sometimes you have to be that for yourself. And that's what the Pretty Kid represents. Be that to yourself. You know what you like. Get it.
And know that you're deserving of it, you know.
Absolutely.
How much do these kits cost?
They are $50.
Exactly.
Regardless of what's in them. And the contents always exceed $50. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah wa mashallah, right? But how many women say, $50, I have to get my kid this.
Yeah.
Or I have to do this. $50 is like, oh man, I can't spend that on myself.
Yeah.
And no, you're worth the investment.
You are.
You know, and the advice that men that I know give, men that are imams give, right? This was advice when I was married. This is advice that I was given. And it was, when you take care of her, when you take care of the wife, when you take care of the woman, she is then able to pour out into the family. When she is out of whack,
the whole house.
Because my next question was, how do you take or make, right? So sometimes I know me, and sometimes it's not make, and sometimes it's not scheduled. Sometimes it's taking. I can't handle your fire. I can't do what you're doing.
Right.
I'm taking this. Goodbye.
Yep.
So how do you take or make time for each of your roles outside of being an entrepreneur?
Well, you have to be tapped in. First of all, you have to know the weather. And I mean the weather in your home. You have to know the weather. If you're married, you need to know, you know, what's the deal with him? What's going on with him? You have to know what's going on with your children. You have to be tapped in, because that's the only way. That's your gauge to let you know, okay, it's okay. No, the house is not going to catch on fire if I decide to take a trip to the library and sit in the quiet room for 2 hours by myself. Like, you know, I mean, that's the thing. You know, some people need, I'm a writer, you know, by nature. And so sometimes I need a quiet space, and I'm going to go to the library. But first, I'm going to check in. I know that nothing is going to, you know, fall apart. And I'm out. And, you know, it was Dr. Brock. I don't know if you guys know him, but he said he had gave me some really great advice one day. He said, you know, you're trying to hold up everything and keeping it from falling apart. And sometimes you just have to let it. And that is the advice I'm going to give to everyone. Sometimes you have to just kind of let go. Whatever's going to happen is going to happen, and take care of you. And that's very necessary, because the only place you can go after everything falls apart is up. But if you keep trying to juggle, you know, the chaos of whatever's going on, eventually something's going to fall and you may not forgive yourself. But if you kind of just let go of everything and reset, hit the reset button, you can start over. As long as Allah gives you air in your lungs, right? He woke you up this morning. As long as He woke you up this morning, you have an opportunity to make it right. And so you have to be checked in. All of that to say, you have to be checked in. You have to know the weather. Me personally, I assess, like, for example, you know, going into the kids' rooms, I notice, you know, every day, and I'm talking about my big kids, my big sons, every day I'm complaining to them about their room being a mess. Every day I'm complaining to them, you know, you got to fold your clothes up. Well, you know what? When they went away, I went in there and we hit the reset button on their room. I cleaned up their room. I folded their clothes. I did their laundry. I made their beds. So now when they come back, they know the standard, and maybe we can start again. And sometimes it's just knowing the weather. Maybe they were just, it was just too much clutter for them. Maybe it was, they couldn't see, you know, the end result. So I had to help them. And that's what a parent, and I use that same philosophy in teaching, right? You're a facilitator. So, but sometimes you have to step in and model the behavior that you want to see happen. So, you know, that's the long and short of it.
Mashallah, you're getting a lot of hearts from that particular point, mashallah, there. And, you know, I see it, you know what I mean? And, you know, yes, sometimes Umi, mommy, you know, mom has to come in and step in. And you know what I love that you said, and I think we all need to give her some snacks, you know, for this is know the weather. Mm-hmm. SubhanAllah, you know, that's about you, that's about the children, that's about, you know, your spouse, right? And you know, we're called the Rabatul Bayt, right? So the queens, yes, of the home, right?
Yes.
I mean, while you were talking, that is literally what the concept that was coming, you know, to my mind. It's not just about cooking and cleaning,
right?
Right.
Absolutely. You're a domestic engineer. I had to tell my students this. That I have them doing resumes in my creative writing class, and they're doing resumes. And she was like, "Well, I help out around the house." I said, okay, well, you're a domestic engineer's assistant. Like, you know, I just want them to get into that language, understanding that it's not just mom is a domestic engineer. Like, you making this happen. You are making this happen. And so, you know, it's important to know what's going on. If you're a manager at a job, you have to know what's going on with all of your employees. You have to know the weather. You got to know who called out today. You got to know what kind of coverage you have. You have to know everybody's schedules, everybody's breaks. You have to know what's going on in the store, what needs to be like. And that's a job. That's, and your home is probably 20 times more complicated, especially when you have, you know, small children in different developmental stages, you know? So you have to know, you have to check in, you have to approach it as a, I don't want to say job, but as a, like you're a manager, right? Like you're a supervisor at a job. You have to know what's going on.
I love that. You know, on that last point that you were talking about, you know, you don't want to go into it like a job, but when we think about going into marriage from an Islamic perspective, we have a contract that happens in that marriage. So listen, just think about that from a business.
It's a job.
Speak on it. Yes. Yes.
It's, yes, a job. Wait, hold, mm-hmm, on. This can be upheld in the court of law. A contract can be upheld in the court of law. Contract supersedes everything. So as Muslims, if it's that serious, that's the seriousness of it, right? And there's even an ayah in the Quran where, you know, don't go into anything. You have to write a contract, you know, make sure you transcribe everything, have a contract and have witnesses. This is for major acts of business. So you need a contract with yourself. If you are the domestic engineer of your home, you need to have a contract with yourself. And by contract with yourself, I mean, today, these are my reminders. These are the things that I'm going to do. This is my schedule today. You know what? I just don't have the energy to get out of bed today. I'm going to figure out how to, you know, work from my bed, figure out how to, I'm going to employ someone else in the home to, you know, figure out how to do certain things. We are going to order pizza tonight. We are going to do this. Or, you know what? I'm feeling great. Tonight is movie night for the family. Like, you know, you have to know the weather, and you have to know you, and you got to be checked in.
I love it. I'm going to share this quick story because that's a great reminder. So this was back when I worked, you know, in corporate America. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I had a, you know, a babysitter, and she happened to her place of business was actually right across the street.
Oh,
and,
wonderful.
It was, oh, listen, that was
a lot of mercy in the little things.
Listen, okay? And so, you know, I would drop my daughter off 7:30, and then I would be on my way, fight traffic and get to work, right? And one day I came home early, and, you know, normally I pick up my daughter between 5:30, 6 o'clock. And I think it was like 2 o'clock in the afternoon, right? We had gone to a conference or something, and I was back early. Mm-hmm. And I called, you know, I always call, hey, I'll be there, you know, in 10 minutes. So this way my daughter's ready. She's walking out the door, right, and I can, you know, just pick her up. So I call. Do you know what the babysitter said to me? She was like, why? She was like, why don't you go home for the next 3 and 3.5 hours and do something for yourself?
Right. Take a nap.
That concept was so foreign to me. I think, you know, my son was already older. He was like 10 or 11. Mm-hmm. And then her, you know, she was like 2 years old. And I was like, what do you mean? Like, to myself, I'm like, well, what am I supposed to do?
Because I'm a mom. And I gotta get the baby.
And I gotta get the baby. And I'm shortchanging my daughter by not picking her up, as if she knew that I was home. Only
and she's gonna be straight, right? And she's gonna be straight. And she's gonna be straight because that was the setup that Allah gave you anyway. She's right across the street. You're good. So, I mean, it's very important. But those are the type of mercies. Those are the moments. And I think every mother, what you said is very, very poignant. Like, those are the moments when you give that gratitude, when you realize, subhanAllah, like, Allah gave me, you know, a babysitter right across the street from where I live. Like, I can go home. I can chill right up until 5 minutes before I got to be there. Like, you know, like, that's part of the mercy, you know. Oh, subhanAllah, you know, I gotta run the kids around, but my husband went and he put gas in the car last night. I got a full tank, you know, like, I'm good. I don't have to stop and get gas. I can drop here, you know. It's just the little mercies, those little mercies that we have to be aware of, to give gratitude.
MashaAllah, that's a perfect segue. So what's it like having the additional layers? So working a full-time job, you know, this is your scenario, and this may be many, this used to be my scenario, mm-hmm. and this may be many women's scenario out there. So what's it like having the additional layers? Working a full-time job, being a mother, you are actually building a masjid community.
MashaAllah.
May Allah reward you.
Ameen.
And, you know, from what I see, some great things are being said about what you're building, and it's still
inshallah,
in its infancy.
Inshallah.
Still within the, you know, you're still within the first year of, you know, this, you know, masjid community concept, all that good kind of stuff, right? And then on top of it, so you're, that's still not your stuff, right? Growing a brand. All of this is happening at the same time. And I'm sure there are other things that are going on too, but those are the ones that are apparent. So those are the ones that I named. How complicated is it? Look, you just had to take a breath, right?
Listen.
It's amazing when you hear it out loud.
It's scary. It's scary because I know that nothing happens without Allah's, is a hadith Aisha asked the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam a question. And he responded to her. He said, Allah is the only one who facilitates ease. So if you pray for anything, pray for ease. And so, you know, that's been my dua. And one of my duas. And I have another one that I'll share with you. But that's one of my main, you know, every day you just pray for ease, pray for ease. But it's sort of like, speaking to your question, it's sort of like hooks. And so every, you know, when you go to the meat market, when you go to like the real meat market, right? Like in one of the third world countries, right? And they have the meat out there and there's these big hooks, right? The meat hooks. And that's exactly what life, you know, doing what I do, that's what it's like, right? Everything has their hook in you and everybody's pulling and pulling and pulling and pulling. But you know the saying that if you love what you do, you never work a day in your life. It's that kind of fulfillment. And so I'm going to share another story with you guys. It's not so much a story, but when I was younger, when I had just started, you know, coming back to Islam, I don't know if anybody, you know, out there knows my journey, but when I had just started coming back to Islam and practicing, I figured out, you know what, I don't know how to interact with this outside world. Like, you know, this it swallowed me whole. And so I realized that I made a dua, and I would make this dua all the time. And I asked Allah, I said, make my plan for me your plan for me so that I'm always content with the outcome. And so that was one of my duas. And like, I would make that after every salah. I would get up in the third of the night, like, just make your plan for me, my plan for me. So that whatever I'm doing, that's what you wanted me to do. And I'm content. I'm not fighting against the qadr. Right. And so so right now, even though I know there's a lot of things pulling at me, and they're in any role, you know, if you're a mom, you work from home, you do anything, there are going to be things pulling at you. But in anything where you find yourself being pulled in different directions, if you find that you're fighting against those what's pulling you, that is not where you're supposed to be. And that's my honest opinion. That's not where you're supposed to be. But if you find that these things are pulling at you, and you're content with the amount of effort you give, you're content with just being in those roles, you love what you're doing, then that's where you're supposed to be. And so keep giving it your all. And, you know, sometimes you're going to have to give 10% here and 50% here. And sometimes you're going to have to give 70% here and 5% here, and just give a little bit every day. Give a little bit to each role. And, you know, check in so you know who needs more, what needs more from you. But as long as you are content with being pulled in those different directions, I think, you know, you found yourself and you found your niche, and you'll be fine, inshallah.
Inshallah, that's deep, you know. And there's a theme that has been permeating through a lot of the episodes, and it's what you just said. And it's, you know, being content with what Allah's plan is for me. And, you know, we just spoke to Tahira Talib Deen, episode 60. And
I that missed was, that.
Girl, you gotta watch it.
It's I love her about, energy.
Yes. And it's talking about like janaza, end of life, all that good kind of stuff. But one of the things that she was talking about is, you know, we do similar work. So her and I are in the empowerment, you know, coaching space. And so that was her, that was what she had her focus on. And then she had a life event, you know, happened with the death of her, you know, husband, may Allah be pleased with him, Amin.
Oh, subhanAllah.
And it totally turned her. And now she is helping, you know, widows, and she's helping with end of life planning and that kind of thing, but still empowering women. And so, you know,
that just choked me up, subhanAllah.
Sis, listen to the episode, inshallah. I think the actual video is still up on the Facebook you know, channel here.
Okay.
So go watch it before okay. It disappears or whatever. But subhanAllah, her story you know, is amazing. And you know, when you just said what you just said, it's the same. Like, you know, Allah has a way of steering us. We have this, I'm doing this, and you know, all of this. And then Allah's like, nah, you gotta do something that keeps you close to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
I, you're not gonna go too far,
sending, right? And you're not okay? going that route. We're not sending you over there,
because if you go over there, you might not come back. So I need you to look over here, okay?
Yep.
Good job, sis. Right.
And you gotta, and you have to learn to find the contentment. I mean, I think being content is automatic, but if you find that you are not content with something, and it's something beneficial, then it's a faith issue. And so you got to go a little bit deeper, right? You got to go a little bit deeper. You got to get up in the third of the night. And I think that's a mother's most powerful tool, because who's up in the third of the night, right? Not the kids, right? So you got, you know, and not the husband. If you marry, I don't know, you know, husbands sleep like logs. So not the husband and not the kids. Get up in the third of the night. That is your space for your planning. And I mean planning with your Lord, you know. So
yes, and that's your lifeline. Dua,
that's your lifeline.
Your lifeline. You know, just think about the duas that you make for your children, right? I use that to hajj. It's about my kids.
Listen.
99.9% of the time, that's who I'm up for, is them too.
Listen, if I say to myself, gee, I haven't cried in a long time. All right, let me get up in the third of the night, because I need to cry. I mean, it sounds crazy, but when you think about all the songs out there and all the music and everything they have, and they talk about, you know, people or stories or movies where they depict, you know, women crying in the bed or in the bathroom, like, all right, we got something good. Like, cry in salah, cry in dua. Like, you know, that's where you release that. And it's necessary. It's very necessary.
And very cleansing. That's a cry that is very, very, very cleansing.
Subhanallah.
Listen, I can't even share my prayer rug.
If it's been a long time and I haven't, I'm like, something ain't right. I need to check the pulse, check the weather.
Check the weather, mashallah. That's deep. Tahajjud, babies. So we talk a lot about tahajjud around these parts. So Jazakallah khair for, you know, bringing up that reminder. Last third in the night. Tahajjud, baby. Just do it. Just do it, inshallah.
Do it.
Yes.
And even if you're not praying, get up. Make dhikr. Have a conversation.
Well, we had another episode. This was with Melanie from Hot Hijab way, way, way back. So this was like the first year of the podcast. Mm-hmm. And she talked about that. And she talked about, you know, when we're not praying, how do we stay connected to our Lord? So gems are being dropped. So make sure you pick them up. Inshallah.
Gems
are amazing and hot. Okay,
you still get up in the third of the night. You just not, obviously you're not going through the ritualistic practices, you know, that we do before we pray, but you get up in the third of the night, you know, listen to Quran, you make dua, you know, you still get down. Allah is still there. He still hears you. You know, there's a narration, not even a narration, it's the ayah in the Quran where actually it's not an ayah in the Quran. Let me correct that. It is a story from the Bible. It's a Bible story. And it's about Isa alayhi salam. And, you know, when he was, he asked Allah, I believe. I hate to talk, oh my God. You don't even know, because I get so confused. Where did it come from? I never want to misquote. But I'm going to just give you the story, and then y'all can go and research and figure out where it comes from, all right? Because that's not my, it's not my strong suit, right? Okay. So the story is that he was being, you know, hung or whatever, and he cried out to Allah, and he asked Allah, he's like, why you forsake me? And Allah said he didn't forsake him. Like, he hasn't forgotten you or forsaken you. That's actually in the Quran. Okay. Yeah, that's in the Quran. So he didn't forget you, nor has he forsaken you. And so if you know, this is one of the prophets, alayhi salam, and he is being, you know, about to be killed. And he's thinking that, you know, God has forgotten him. And here we are, mothers, doing, you know, God's work, the work that Allah has entrusted us to. And do you think that just because you're on your mints, Allah forgot about you? Like, you think because you're on your mints, like, the doors of repentance and the doors of mercy and the doors of heaven are closed for you? Like, it's actually, if you look at it as a mercy, because what woman wants to get up, make wudu, and go through all the, you know, the rituals to leading to prayer if you are on your mints? You don't want to do that. So it's actually a mercy for us, but that doesn't mean that, you know, those doors are closed. Get up, talk to Allah, have a conversation with him. You know, you can still, one of the rites of dua is that you dress properly and you turn in the direction of the Qibla. You can still do that. Put a hijab, because, you know, you want the angels to come in. Put a hijab on. Turn in the direction of the Qibla. Hold your hands up. Make dua. It's a process, but it's real.
Listen, mashallah, yes. Like, you know, that's deep. And if you think about, like, you know, when we're, you know, when it's that time of the month, right? You think about how long it takes you. Some people are on their menses 3 days. Some people are longer.
Some people go 14 days. Like,
and Allah, may Allah make it easy. And
I mean,
because it's like, imagine not doing anything for 14 days.
Right.
I can't even imagine.
I can't even imagine.
I'm 3 to 4 days. Right.
Right.
That's me. Right. That's my time. And I feel so disconnected coming back. It takes me like 2 days to get back to where I was prior. So it's like,
right, because that first venture, I'd be like, oh, I forgot I had the, sometimes, like, especially if it's like busy, man, I could be in school and the whole day would go by and I'm like, oh shoot, like, I'm praying, gotta get up. Yeah. Come on.
Yeah.
You know, so you have to know the weather.
Girl, I'm telling you right now. Listen, that's gonna be the quote on the in the caption. Know the weather. Okay?
Know the weather.
Yeah, said know the weather, inshallah. So, what is your advice for women who want to pursue entrepreneurship but are apprehensive because they have additional roles and responsibilities on their plate that may take their time and attention?
First of all, entrepreneurship is not for the weak. Right. And so I say that to say, You have to know yourself, because I think just in a lot of conversations that I've had with different women and sitting in on, you know, different classes and, you know, even my personal journey, to some degree, you are, as an entrepreneur right now, the game is in full view, right? You can see it on Instagram, you see it on Facebook, you got all the social medias, you have all these websites, you could type in any product, you can find someone who makes it, right? So there's a lot of, I'm not going to call it competition, because that's not what it is. There's a lot of, the market is saturated. That's the appropriate word, right? And so because the market is saturated, you might be sitting home saying, well, I can't do that because somebody else is doing that. Or I don't have the time to really, you know, make it look like, you know, so-and-so's, or make it look fancy schmancy, or, you know, add a little razzle dazzle. And don't get me wrong, I know that stuff is important when you're trying to sell online. But at the end of the day, you have to be comfortable in you and your own skin and what your strengths are. You have to be able to look around and say, these are my strengths. This is what I can do. This is what I can work with. Let me start here. And then take a little step. Today, you might be putting, you know, 2% of your time into your craft or your entrepreneurship or your endeavor. 2%, right? You might just be sitting, writing down what you want to do, right? You may have just told your mom, or, you know, told a sister, or told your best friend, this is what I want to do. And that might be where you are in your journey. And then, you know, tomorrow you might reach out to someone and say, you know, or reach out to, you know, I don't know, Alibaba's, or, you know, one of the wholesale companies, just to find out, you know, how much would it be to get, you know, containers or something, just little. So every day, take a little step toward your goal, even if it doesn't look how you see it in your mind, how you want it to look. Do what you have to do, and give, you can only give what you can give.
Facts. You know, and all of this that you're doing makes a whole. All of what you're doing makes a whole. And absolutely. I think what people think, they see you online, or they see me or another entrepreneur online, and they're like, man, that sister really has it together. I've been doing this for 6 years.
Right,
prior
right.
To that 6 years, I've worked in the corporate space for 20 plus years, right?
Right.
So I'm not new to this.
This
I'm
training that has gone like this behind the scenes, I think it was Jay-Z. He was like, y'all see the end result. Like, y'all don't see all the no's. You don't see all of the disappointment. You don't see all of the effort and the sweat and the tears. You don't see all of that. Y'all just see what's, you know, in the forefront.
See those days I'm working from bed.
Huh?
Y'all don't see the days that I'm working from bed, like you just said. I am
in pajamas and a bonnet. Okay.
It's done. And like you said, even if it's just that one thing that's getting done, even if it's just that one thing that's getting done.
And forgive yourself. I wanted to say, and forgive yourself, because I think I don't want women to measure themselves by other women. Right? Don't measure yourself by another woman. Like, for example, yeah, it might look fabulous and everything, but my car is a mess right now. And I'm like, you know what? I need to go get my car clean, but I'm not beating myself up. It will happen. I will find time to make that happen. But that doesn't mean that, you know, maybe somebody does a video and, you know, they're in their car and all right, but why are you, it's not a comparison, it's not a competition, it's just your own personal best. And today, your own personal best might be that you got out of bed and you made breakfast for everybody. And that's okay. Push yourself, yes, but forgive yourself, absolutely.
You said, you brought up another point, and I want to address it just really quickly, because, you know, in our space, so we're coming not only from the entrepreneurship space, female entrepreneurship, but Muslim female entrepreneurship. So although there are 2 billion plus Muslims, you know, on the planet, our community is still close knit, and yep, we kind of know each other from all corners of, mm-hmm, of the world. And you talked about competition, and I really want to address that really quickly, because there is no stop competing. I am not Jenna. I could never be Jenna. I could never do Pretty Life of a Mother. I could never do it, right? That Allah gave her that gift. Allah gave her the specific set of circumstances and just the story to be able to charter that or champion that particular effort. I've got my own. Every woman has their own queendom and their own, you know, gift that they have been given. And so it's not a support Jenna or support Halima.
Right.
It's support Jenna and support Halima.
Right.
And that's, I just needed to say that point. And, you know, okay, we're talking about Muslims here, but I want to go to like a Nicki and a Cardi B, right? I'm a Cardi B fan. I actually like them both. I'll be honest.
I actually like both of them for different reasons. For different reasons. I like both of them. And I'm talking, when I say like, I'm talking about their public persona. I don't really know anything much about their music. But their public persona, who they are on social media, who they are when they're doing interviews and things like that. And I like Nicki because, first of all, Cardi's from the Bronx and Nicki's from Queens. Right. And so you kind of see those two dynamics. I don't know anybody on here from New York. You understand. You see those two dynamics in their personality. And so there is a poshness to Nicki that I like, even though she's, you know, she can be raw and whatever. There's a poshness that I actually identify with. And then you have Cardi B, who there's a realness there. There is, regardless of, you know, I know it's for TV or whatever, but there is a realness there. And as a mom, I was just thinking about her the other day. She was at Sky Zone in New York. And she was with, you know, her children. She was taking a video of her children or whatever. And I saw, like, in the back of the video, you could see, like, some Muslims in the background. I'm just like, yeah, she's at Sky Zone. And those sisters look, like, familiar. And I'm like, I bet they don't even know that that's Cardi B there, you know, with her children at Sky, with her daughter at Sky Zone. And Offset was there and everything. And I'm just saying, like, she chose motherhood. I don't know anything about all them other women. Or, you know, I don't know Nicki. I know she has a child now, but that girl chose motherhood, and hat off to her. Like, she is a mother. All of the whatever she says out of her, whatever. At the end of the day, much respect for Cardi B. She is a mother and she does it. And I admire that about her.
Mashallah, mashallah, I love it. And, you know, I agree with what you just said, because, like, I like Nicki, I like Nicki from a business perspective. Mm-hmm. I like Cardi, like you said, from like a familial, from a relationship, being real and authentic.
Yes.
And that woman is actually very smart.
Listen.
Yeah, y'all can't see us because we're on video, but I am nodding my head, and I have my little
very smart
on my chin.
Very like, smart. Okay. And I mean, like, we're not gonna say book smart because I don't know. You know, I'm not her teacher. I don't know. But that girl has a lot of sense, and she allows her sense to guide her. And that's what comes through. That's what I like about her. And that comes through.
I love it. I love it. Just want to say assalamu alaikum to anyone who joined our live video, and also to those who will listen to the podcast episode later. Thank you so much for being here. I see assalamu alaikum rahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Good morning, all that good kind of stuff. My bestie is on here, the one who we talked about a little bit earlier. So bestie, please watch this episode. I chatted about you a little bit right in the middle, in the beginning. Towards the middle, inshallah. So is there an ayah, hadith, or quote that governs your life? You've dropped a lot of gems. You've given us a lot of ayah. And I do want to encourage you, anytime you hear ayah or hadith or even just a quote on here, investigate further.
Please.
Please. Yes.
Please.
So go ahead. Please. Oh, someone said, assalamu alaikum wa alaikum salam. I'm enjoying this. We're enjoying it too.
So is there a hadith? So there is a hadith that is kind of like one of my gems. And I'll share it with you guys. It's I try, Allah knows best, and I pray that, you know, when I stand before him, he says, yes, you tried to live by this, and this is your entry. So there's a story. There's a man who he was blind. I think he was blind, and he was, you know, poor, and you know, he didn't have much. And so he would make dua. He would, you know, constantly make dua to Allah that Allah give him more. Right. And so one day, I think it was an angel who came in the form of a man. And, you know, he said, "Are you sure that you want more? Are you sure that you want more?" And the man said, "Yes, I'm sure." And he said, "Okay, because, you know, there's going to be a time when, you know, you have to be, you know, you got to be grateful for Allah giving you more." Right. And he said, "Yes, I want more. I want, you know, like, give it to me. I'm ready. I'm ready." Right. And Allah gave it to him. Right. And so years went by, and he had wealth. He had his eyesight. He had, you know, he was the guy. Right. And then years and years later, the same angel came back to him in the same situation that he was in years prior. Right. And he asked him for sadaqah, and the guy turned him away. He was like, you know, like, get out of here. He turned him away. And Allah brought him back down to the place where he was before. And so I know maybe y'all thought it was going to be a happy ending, right? But there's an extreme lesson in this. And I know, you know, there's a lot of memes and everything out there with this, you know, to whom much is given, much is expected. And that is the theme. That is the lesson that I get from that. And I try. And Allah knows best. To whom much is given, much is expected. And, you know, the other day we were walking in the mall, and we were walking through, I stopped at Sephora, the Sephora that was in JCPenney, and we were walking through the mall, and there was a group of kids, teenagers, and, you know, I didn't recognize any of them, but one of them was like, "Salaam alaikum." And I'm like, oh, my former student, you know, this from years ago, like my second year teaching. He was like, "Sister Jenna." And I'm like, "What's up?" And he's like, "They're not letting us in the mall because we're, you know, it was like during winter break or whatever." And he was like, "They're not letting us in the mall unless we walk in with an adult." And so I said, you know, I'm looking at the crew, and, you know, they're just kids. They're kids, 16, 17 years old. They're about a year older than a year younger than my son. So 15, 16 years old. And, you know, I'm looking at them, and they were just kids. And I knew for the most part, they weren't getting in trouble. And I honestly didn't know. Let me say that. I didn't know. But I'm saying to myself, you know, imagine seeing an adult that can help you and you actually getting brave enough to ask that adult, "Can we walk in with you?" Right? That took a lot out of him. And you know, like, he was one of my bad kids. And he knows he was one of my bad kids. And it was just so funny that he felt brave enough, you know. And I'm walking with my husband, I'm walking with the kids and everything. It's just so funny that he felt brave enough to ask that. And I was like, you know what? Come on. And so my husband was like, "Oh, come on, you being a pushover." And I'm just like, nah, like, anytime, like, that's the way I can give my compassion, because I'm a mother, and I know that his mother sent him to the mall to go hang out with his friends, and he can't even get in. And I talked to them. I said, "If I hear anything," because now I know who you are, and I can easily find out who y'all are. "If I hear anything happen at this mall involving you, we're going to have, he was like, wallahi, we good. We just going shopping. I'm like, okay. You know, and I thought in my mind, like, I need to reach out to his mother to make sure, you know, everything was straight. But no news is good news, right? Everything was straight. And for me, it's moments like that when you only get one time to get a moment like that. You only get one time, right, to get a moment like that. And that was minor. In the grand scheme of things, that was minor. But you only get one time. You only get one time when you're walking in the store and you see, you know, a hungry person, and you got money on, you know, you got money in the bank, buy them something. You only get one time to do that, because you never know that time that you don't do it might be, you know, when Allah is going to humble you in that moment. And, you know, we're not perfect. We ask Allah for the mercy, and we ask Allah to pardon and overlook our shortcomings, because we're not perfect and we are going to falter. But, you know, the reminder benefits the believer. And when you have a moment and you're walking and you see that, immediately jump to action. Immediately jump to action. The only thing that I regret nowadays is that, you know, cash is not really very popular. And so when you see the people, you know, on the street asking for money, we don't have cash anymore. But to that, I say, you know what? I'm going to be the first one to go buy some gift cards, $5, $10 gift cards, and just start giving them out, because we have an obligation, because to whom much is given, much is expected. And may Allah, you know, increase us. Whew, I said a mouthful.
Ameen, Allahumma ameen. But I think it's so necessary. And, you know, what I heard was being intentional. And I also heard, you know, that any platform that we've been given, any platform, motherhood, being a teacher, being a woman, a front-facing, you know, a woman of faith, Muslim woman, right? Mm-hmm. It are amanas. They have been, this has been entrusted yep. to us from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? Yep. And, you know, what you just said, I don't know if it's a hadith or what it is, but it talks about Allah is going to ask you on Yawm al-Qiyamah, why didn't you clothe me? Why didn't you feed
yep.
me?
Why didn't you do me? Yep.
Why didn't you
why
visit
didn't you
me?
Feed me?
And short window. You know, I have so many stories where I could just attest to what you just said of that short window that Allah gives you to serve his servant.
Yep.
And I remember one time, I'm not going to tell the full story, but I remember one time the window was very short and I walked past it. And then I heard, you know, fi sabilillah, sister, fi sabilillah. And I turned around and I walk fast. If anybody's ever been with me, I'll be out, okay? Gone. And I was rushing to the masjid. This is when it happened. I was rushing to the masjid to get there before, you know, the angels closed their book.
Right.
What's the imam?
I need to be on that list.
Listen, I need it, right? So I was rushing to the masjid, and all I heard, the sister asked, I saw her in front of me. And then backwards, it was like, I heard, Feast of Ilillah, sister, Feast of Ilillah. And I was just like, this could be the one.
Right.
This could be the one. Let me turn. And I turned back around. And so I'm sharing that story to say a test. It's a very short window. It's very,
I have
very
no
very
idea why
window.
I'm like, I have tears in my eyes, but alhamdulillah, but it is. It really is. And I really just ask Allah to, you know, increase us so that we can, you know, give. And not increase us so that we can have.
I mean. Yeah, when Allah gives you more, don't increase your level of, you know, light living, increase your level of giving.
Absolutely. And the other thing will follow. I think people don't realize that. Like, you, the more Allah gives you, you have no choice. If you're making smart moves, right? You're making smart money moves. Like, you are going to have. You're going to be increased. You're going to eventually, you know, get, the time will come where your car is going to get an upgrade. Your home is going to get, like, those things will come. But you have to always keep your eye on the real prize. I know that sounds cliche, but it is so true. So true. And the eye on the prize is the hereafter.
I mean, Jannah, the akhirah. You know, that's the real prize. Are we Absolutely. Building those bricks, you know, in our home in Jannah? Look, we got Jannah on the podcast. Are we building our bricks?
May Allah make that our home, please.
Ameen, Allahumma ameen. And the highest level. Pray for Jannah for those. Don't pray for the level you think you can get. Pray for the level you want.
No, listen, the world is ghetto right now. I want the highest level. Like, I'm living here in this hood, like, no. I want it all. I implore Allah, like, I want the highest. Me and all of my kids. And I think, you know, I often laugh at Ibrahim's dua in the Quran and Sir Ibrahim, where he asked Allah, he said, you know, guide some of my, was it Ibrahim? Yeah, it was Ibrahim, where he said, guide some of my children. I'm just like, that's the difference between a man and a woman, because he knew some of his kids wasn't built for it. I'm bugging right now, because I'm like, what? This is my memory. It's always like this. So I do apologize, but it is one of them. I believe it was Ibrahim. And he said, guide some of my children. And I'm just like, whoo. Like, that's the difference between a man and a woman. Like, I go to Allah and I'm like, oh, All of them, because, you know, a man, he sees, you know what, some of my sons just not built for it, right? Some of them just don't get, and I'm just like, oh, Allah, just all of them, in the highest level, like all of us, you know, and Allah is Ar-Rahman.
Yes, he is. Ameen, Allahumma Ameen. And he can change. He's the turner of hearts, and he can change it on a dime. You know, I bear witness. That's all I'm going to say. I bear witness. So, my sister, what does it mean to be boss hijabipreneur? This is you, not me, not my definition. This is Genevieve Ann's definition of what it means to be a boss hijabipreneur, inshallah.
I think to find contentment with the decree of Allah, and I know that sounds I keep saying that, but it does. But I like to go in and go for the deeper meaning, right? So we say a lot of meme, we have a lot of memes, we do a lot of cliches, but I like to kind of peek behind the curtains and take out what it actually means. And when you think about your deeper, that contentment, right? When you think about being content with Allah's decree, being content with your level of effort, you are talking about standing in your authentic space. You are talking about, you know what, as a teacher, high school teacher, I work in a school where I am the only, aside from the substitute teachers and the hall monitors, I am the only African-American one, the only African-American person, and the only Muslim. That's two different, you know, entities, and being able to sit in a meeting and saying, you know, raising my hand and, hey, X, Y, and Z, that's my authentic space. And, you know, and sitting, you know, with my husband, and, you know, for me personally, being married to, you know, a student of knowledge, and the respect that I have for his wisdom and his knowledge. And at the same time, when he says something, I'm just like, I don't agree with that, right? That takes a lot to sit in your and be content with where you are. And I can't say that I'm always right, but at the end of the day, it does take a lot to even sit in a room. Like, I come from a family of musicians. My entire family are musicians. And nobody, and I'm talking about, you know, my father's side, and none of them actually, you know, aside from, you know, my cousins and things, but my immediates, my siblings, they don't practice. I have one sibling from my father's children who practice. And that takes, you know, walking into the home and, you know, there's dogs and there's, you know, pets and things around, and, you know, there's music and there's this, and everybody's a singer and everybody does this. And, you know, just being able to sit in my authentic space, like, this is who I am. I don't have to impose that on anybody, but I'm not going to absorb what they are. You know, like, I am grateful to be at an age now and at a place, because it's not about age, at a place where I'm fluid. You know, I'm not, outside is not affecting me. It's just, you know, I found peace in my heart, and that is what it means to be a boss hijabi. Find peace in your heart. Like, if you are like writing and that's what you do, you're an author, write your heart out. I'm not saying you got to go and publish and market and everything, but write your heart out, find peace. If you are, you know, that entrepreneur and you know how to set up businesses, or you know, you're a boss, you're a manager, you're this, I mean, at the end of the day, that's what I am, right? I'm a manager. I'm really great at managing. And so let me get this done. Let me get that done. Let me, you know, get this person in on it, get this person in on it, make sure that person, and that's what I do. And so, but I find contentment in that. That's not to say that the next person, you know, is going to find the same level of contentment. Don't aspire to be a manager. Don't aspire to be a writer. Don't aspire to be an entrepreneur if that's not who you are. Be who you are, and that is when you are a boss. When you have mastered whatever domain you excel in, and that's what it means to me. And I know that's like, but that's me.
Nah, man, that's it right there, man. You know, I was listening to I Am Tabitha Brown, her book, that she has. I was walking, so I take my little walks in the afternoon, and I was walking and I was listening to it, And that was one of the things that she was talking about. She was talking about being your full, authentic self and not worrying about, you know, in the world of social media, you know, we're looking at, we're being pulled in 40,000 different directions. And if you want to be successful, do this, do this, do this. That may not be you. That may not fit your personality, may not fit your story, you know, your past, your history. It may not even fit where you're going. And so, you know, finding your lane, like you said, you know, being content, you know, with the qadr of Allah. Look, dhuhr, the alarm for dhuhr just literally just goes off, mashallah. It's reminding us, alhamdulillah. And so, you know, just being content where you are, being content in the direction that you're going, being content, just all of it, contentment. I believe that you are going to love the quote that I have chosen. So every week I choose a quote. I haven't spoken to Jenna. I didn't know this is the direction that the conversation was going to go. None of it. But I think that this quote is befitting, inshallah. I'm going to put this up here for you to see this comment by another one of my faves, Sister Teal. She is just so beautiful. That's right. Mashallah.
And she is just pure light, mashallah.
I mean, you know, may Allah give her the highest level of Jannah. I mean, for her efforts. You know, she's one of those people, you look, wherever you look, there she is.
Yeah.
So may Sister Teal, I love you and may Allah reward you. So she says, our uniqueness is our thing that makes us whole. And she didn't say thing. She said thang, y'all. Make sure you put a little twang on it, okay? I love it, mashallah. So my inspirational quote of the week, we delight in the beauty of the butterfly, but rarely admit the changes it has gone through to achieve that beauty. And that quote is by Maya Angelou. Again, this quote is befitting of you, Jenna, your community, and this episode. So taking the life we've been given and making the best of it, taking advantage of the opportunities as they arise, and understanding where we may be now is not where we'll stay. Never settle for less than what you feel you deserve and Allah has told you you can have. JazakAllah khair for being here, Jenna. Please let people know how they can connect with you, how they can grab their pretty kit, because they can still get their January pretty kit. Am I right?
Yes, we have some left for this month. Yes, if you go to theprettymother.com, it should come up. Definitely get it before it's gone. They usually go in the first week, but alhamdulillah, I do have some in this week, so definitely grab it. You can reach out to me via email jb@theprettymother.com, or you can hit me up on social media. I actually answer DMs, so you can hit me up. It's the Pretty Mama on Instagram.
Love it, love it, love it. And all of these links that she just discussed will be in the episode. So when you come back to the episode, you'll be able to click on them and you'll be able to connect with Jenna for those of you that will be listening to the podcast later on. So JazakAllah khair for being here, Jenna. Allah continue to, and increasingly, so not just continue, but increasingly bless you, bless your endeavors. May he place all of the barakah in them, and may all of your efforts tip the scale in your favor.
I mean, right? Yeah, you don't even understand. Mashallah, mashallah. I admire you so much. So thank you so much for having me. Alhamdulillah.
So for all of you, join me for episode 68, Getting to the Bag, How to Create a Financially Sustainable Community. And we just talked about that in Atlanta, and I felt like that was something that we needed to share. So inshallah, I'll be making that a podcast episode coming soon, inshallah. So JazakAllah khair for being here. Peace. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
This has been another spectacular episode of Boss Hijabipreneur, brought to you by BUNHD LLC and the Not Without My Hijab stage play. To find out more about services for women of faith in business and the next city up on the tour, visit www.bunhd.com. It is our hope here at BUNHD that after each episode, you will be empowered to have a deeper connection in your spirituality, personal, and business relationships. As women of faith, we have a responsibility to learn our religion, apply it to our daily lives, and to make a positive contribution in our local and global communities.